I want to bring to you a message of encouragement to pray today. Encouragement to pray. As if you needed any more incentive to what the week's news has brought you as encouragement to pray. Am I right? The news about activities in Iran, we hear that Pakistan attacked Afghanistan, declared war there. There's reason to pray. There's reason to pray. And yet, brothers and sisters, we struggle. And yet, even though things are going on a global scale that are challenging, our own insulation from those affairs often can make us dull, can make us sleepy. So I want you to turn with me this morning to Colossians chapter 4 as we hear a message from the Lord that is encouragement, challenge, no, directive, command. Command to pray, and I've entitled this a gold medal prayer regimen. Most of us experience the Olympics in minutes. I assume that you caught at least a little bit of the Olympics. Did you see these two skating together? Pretty impressive. A skater steps onto the ice, music begins, and in 90 seconds we witness beauty, precision, we witness power. We rarely see anything of the year or years or decades that go into, build up to, that 90-second performance. The glory is brief, but it's not accidental. It's the visible tip of an iceberg formed by steady discipline day in and day out. As with many things that we see but don't experience, while we're watching, you may have heard a silly voice in your head said, well, if I devoted myself to that, I could probably, maybe. And so you went to the kitchen for a snack. Now, don't tell me you didn't do this. And you said, triple X. And you actually spun around and you got dizzy. No, no. You came back to reality and said, no. Let's leave that to the professionals. We remember the last time we stepped onto ice in rental skates and immediately discovered muscles we had forgotten all about, or maybe not muscles, maybe padding that we had forgotten all about. What looks effortless on television is actually the result of years of falling, right? Years of falling, usually when there's no one there to help pick you up or clap. For an Olympic skater, devotion looks unspectacular from day to day. It's waking up before dawn to practice when no one is watching. It's running the same program again and again and again, knowing that most of those repetitions will never be applauded. It's your diet. It's the weight room after ice time. It's saying no to distractions, guarding sleep, shaping everything about life around this single pursuit. All of that for one moment when preparation becomes performance and the discipline of years is condensed in a single shining instant. Scripture speaks of devotion in much the same way when it calls us to prayer. Prayer is not intended to be a spiritual triple axle we pull out of nowhere when we're under pressure. It's the steady, repeated practice of turning towards God, often quietly, mostly unseen. And over time, those ordinary moments, they shape us so that when life begins to press in and what comes out is not panic, it's not pretense, it's a practiced, faithful dependence upon God, with whom you are very familiar. I think an Olympic skater's regimen helps us meditate on a gold medal prayer regimen. So let's think about that. We started, like I said, this short series to refocus us on the essential nature of prayer. We started last week, the right tool for the right job, and we saw there that answered prayer puts God's glory, always magnificent, but it puts it in the storefront window. It puts it on display, doesn't it? And not only does it put God's glory on display, it also tops off our joy. Jesus said, you'll be filled with joy as you see answers to prayer in your life. This week, let's lay a foundation for the prayer discipline that we've all been called to. So, Colossians 4:2. Turn there in your Bible or look it up in your app. It'll also be up on the screen. Very short, just one sentence that I want us all to focus on this morning. Paul writes in Colossians 4:2 that as with skating, dabbling won't cut it. It's going to take devotion. Dabbling won't cut it. It's going to take devotion. So he says, addressing the Colossian believers, continue steadfastly in prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Maybe you've heard of other people who use my exercise program. I run every day for 15 minutes. And if I miss a day, I don't get down on myself. None of that. No negative attitudes. I don't get down on myself. I simply add 15 minutes to the next day. And this has been a game changer for me. Tomorrow I'm supposed to run for 3 months. This phrase that Paul uses here, continue steadfastly, means to persist, to hold fast, to give sustained attention over time. Now, I memorized this, and I'm even using it there in my point this morning, devotion. Devote yourself to prayer, and that you'll see that pop up in some translations. Here in the English Standard Version, I think it's better. I think this is better. It matches the Greek word better. Continue steadfastly. You see, there's a little shadow that hangs over the word steadfastly that warns you it's going to be a challenge. And so if you've ever thought, well, yeah, I'd like to be a prayer, but it seems hard. Guess what? Paul knew it. The apostle knew it. So when he writes, continue steadfastly, continue to or persevere in it, he's saying, I know, it's a discipline. There's no way around it. You don't get to just do it when you feel inclined. This is going to take some effort. Courageous persistence. Courageous persistence, I think, is what's called for. It's not about praying harder in emergencies. It's about praying faithfully in ordinary days. I got very little sleep last night. I don't know. I'm sure there were a number of different circumstances, but God used that time while I was awake last night to pray for Iran. Over and over and over, the things going on kept coming back to my mind. That doesn't count. That's emergency. You see what I'm saying? No, it counts. Wow. It counts. But I'm talking about the regular discipline when there's not a new war breaking out. You with me? The persistence in prayer is when, hey, things seem to be getting along all right. Prayer is not a spiritual hobby. It's not something you pick up when life gets intense and set down when things calm down. Dabbling assumes prayer is optional. Devotion recognizes prayer is essential. Paul here is calling for essential prayer. Think about how we approach so many things in our day. We try them. We try something out. We see if it'll fit our schedule. We quit if we don't see quick results. But prayer doesn't work on an instant return model. It forms us slowly, steadily, and deeply. This is why so many people, I hope none of you, but so many people say, I tried prayer. It didn't really work. And what they may mean is, I dabbled, but I never devoted. I dabbled, but I never devoted. Paul Paul's call to us this morning is simple and it is demanding. Start now, stay with it. Start now, stay with it. Not because every prayer feels powerful, but because God is shaping a praying people through persistent, disciplined prayer. Devotion means prayer becomes the rhythm of your life, not the reaction to a crisis. So Paul is calling us here in the first part of this verse to put in the reps, right? The repetition. Put in the reps. But be careful, those reps need to be meaningful ones. If you go to the gym, you've seen him. He's been on the same machine for 20 minutes. Technically, he's been working out, but no one is exactly sure what muscle group he's targeting, including him. The weight stack clanks like a broken shopping cart. The range of motion is somewhere between a shrug and a mild apology. And every rep looks like it was negotiated rather than executed. He checks his phone between sets. He nods seriously at a mirror and somehow manages to sweat without actually lifting anything meaningfully. Each repetition is a new interpretation of the exercise. Sometimes it's fast, sometimes painfully slow. Sometimes it stops halfway, like you forgot where he started. There's enthusiasm, but not accuracy. Commitment, but there's no attention. If effort alone built strength, he'd be unstoppable, but his form suggests he's training for a competition that doesn't exist. And yet, when he finally steps away, he looks satisfied. Mission accomplished. Calories were allegedly burned. Anyone watching knows the truth. He put in time without putting in intention. He put in time without putting in intention. It's the gym version of activity without progress. Lots of motion, very little formation. Now listen, how the apostle counsels us next. He says, no sloppy reps. Attention to dangers and opportunities is the real investment here. He says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it. Being watchful in it. A wise man once told me that practice, contrary to popular opinion, does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. Athletes know that there's something worse than not practicing, and that is practicing the wrong way, right? A skater can repeat a jump 100 times, but if their posture is off, all they're doing is reinforcing bad form. So if they're practicing badly, a coach will immediately stop them. Don't do that over and over and over again. You're creating a muscle memory around something that's ultimately going to ruin your performance. It builds failure. Now, I hate to say it. Many of us, including myself, find ourselves praying that way. Praying. We're putting in the reps. Yeah, this is the time. This is the time when I go to my chair. I got my designated place, and I sit down, and I have my little routine. But to be honest, same phrases, same tone, mind drifting halfway through, logging the time, and not engaging the moment. Lord, help us to be present, right? Lord, help us to be watchful. So Paul adds here, focus. He says persistence alone isn't enough. You can show up every single day and still waste the moment if you are inattentive in prayer. Prayer isn't just time spent, it's attention given. So watchful prayer. I hope you'll talk about this in your community group. What would that be? Watchful prayer at least means paying attention to temptations that are creeping in. You're noticing. You're seeing. Lord, I feel it. Meet me here now. Give me the strength that I need. It means noticing opportunities or potential opportunities that God may be opening up to you hey, this is on the horizon. I wonder if that's an opportunity to speak grace into my neighbor's heart. Lord, I don't want to talk to that person, but iron sharpens iron, and I think maybe needs a little encouragement in the right direction. It means being honest about what's actually happening in your heart, not simply declaring that your loved ones are ill, but telling the Lord how you feel about it. The distress, the discouragement, the despondency that you're tempted to fall into. Telling your heart to the Lord Jesus. And then, of course, listening as much as speaking. Assuming that you're in the Word as you pray. This is why Jesus told his disciples, watch and pray. Because sleepy prayer misses danger. Distracted prayer overlooks opportunity. But to pray watchfully is to say, God, help me see clearly my heart, my world, your work. Help me see clearly my heart, my world, and your work. And then watchful prayer will ponder those things from a kingdom perspective. And that kind of prayer is an investment, not a ritual. Now, the last thing here that is in this short little phrase is that attitude is critical. Never doubt the wind. Excuse me. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Not a throwaway, right? We're not going to say, oh, Paul, this sentence should be a little longer. Let's throw thanksgiving on there. Not a throwaway. What do you suppose is the connection? One of the most striking things I noticed, or I should say probably perceived, as I watched skating on television on the Olympics, was the difference between athletes who took to the ice wondering and those who skated out expectantly. Did you notice that too? You could almost feel it. It's almost tangible. This one is skating to the center of the ice, waiting for the music to start, and he or she looks like, oh boy, I hope this turns out. And the other one skate up with this freedom. They're, you can see it in their actual bodies. They're loose. They're free from moment one, as if, hey, this turns out no matter what. This turns out. I love this, right? Two different attitudes. And Paul ends his comments on the prayer regimen with attitude. It's not this polite, or excuse me, it's not an add-on. It's the tone, I think, of all Christian prayer. Gratitude assumes something vital, and that is that God is already at work, God is faithful, and that God's good purposes will stand. Right? So you come into prayer not necessarily knowing whether God is going to answer according to your will, but you come in knowing that he will be faithful to your good. And so you have all the confidence in the world as you come into prayer, and that confidence is reflected in thanksgiving. Thankful prayer refuses these dangers, anxiousness. God is neglecting me. Entitlement. God kind of owes me one. Look at my faithful attendance record. Or despair. Nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. All of those are dangers that we can avoid simply by taking a tone of thankfulness and gratitude into our prayers. Thanksgiving keeps prayer grounded in confidence, not confidence in ourselves, but confidence in God's very character. Now, of course, don't get me wrong. This doesn't mean that we ignore pain. We pretend everything is fine. It means we pray from the conviction that God is trustworthy, he's present, and he will be victorious, even when we don't see how just yet. In other words, thanksgiving says we already know who wins. Amen. We already know who wins. You pray with humility instead of panic, with hope instead of bitterness, with trust instead of manipulation. So let's put these three elements together. Colossians 4:2. Let's not forget this verse, shall we? It's so simple. Let's put it together. There's a command. The command is in the first description. Persist courageously in prayer. It's devoted. It's not dabbling. Then he gives us, it's a participle actually, and tells us the manner of that persistent prayer. It's with alertness to opportunities and threats. So mind is engaged. We're thinking, we're processing, we're using kingdom eyes, and we're saying, what is the experience? What's God's angle in this? And that's what we're taking before the Lord. We're watchful, not absent-minded. And then there's a tone, a second manner of this kind of prayer. It ends up in the tone with gratitude. Thankful, not faithless. When we watch Olympic skaters, we often walk away with two opposite but equally damaging assumptions. Both of them, I think, can quietly sabotage devotion, whether in athletics or in prayer. The first mistake is thinking that unique ability eliminates the need for practice. To think that unique ability, well, of course, they were born for this. That unique ability eliminates the need for practice. A skater makes a triple jump look effortless, and we assume they're simply born that way. We chalk it up to talent, to genetics, or natural gifts. What we don't see is that these elite athletes practice more, not less, simply because they are gifted. So they practice more, not less. Talent does not replace discipline. It raises the standard for it. Ease on the ice is not absence of practice. It's evidence of practice. And the second mistake goes in the opposite direction, and that is assuming that without special talent, well, then practice is pointless. If somehow they could do a blood test and tell me if I could be the next quad god, if you were listening to the Olympics, if they could do a blood test, then I could rule out whether I needed to ever get on the ice or not, right? I could skip all of that. So we tell ourselves, I'm not built like that. I could never do what they do. So we disengage entirely. And our assumption excuses inactivity. And growth is not reserved for the naturally gifted. It belongs to the committed. Growth belongs to the committed, which means it is within your reach. Maybe not a gold medal skating, but growth is within your reach. This is exactly how many of us think about prayer. Some assume spiritual maturity is a gift others have naturally. Don't mistake eloquence for mastery in prayer. Some of us can just talk, all right? Some of us can don't say, well, prayer is for the gifted. They were born for that. Don't mistake eloquence for mastery. Others assume that if prayer doesn't come easily, it must not be worth pursuing. Don't assume difficulty excuses you. Don't assume difficulty watchfully praying excuses you from the discipline. So prayer is not performance for the gifted, it's practice for the faithful. Devotion, not talent, is what forms a praying life. Prayer is not about perfect words, it's not about dramatic moments, it's about steady, attentive, grateful, turning towards God day after day. Converge Church, we've just had a season here. We started off with a half night of prayer. We followed it up with 7 days for a reset. For a reset. Grab a hold of it. If this is for you, if you needed this moment, if you needed this little refocusing effort, take it. I want a church that is characterized by prayer. I want prayer to be the lifeblood of Converge Church. I want what is on display to be God's glory, not our effectiveness. God's glory demands that we pray. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we're encouraged. If you would inspire by your Holy Spirit the Apostle Paul to write in just such a way, calling us, requiring us to work through all the challenges and to courageously persist in prayer, then surely a God with his heart as big as yours would be encouraging that, because you know that you stand ready to bless, that you stand ready to honor those prayers. Oh, what joy we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Heavenly Father, if we have been slack, if we have been absent-minded in our prayers, call us to attention now. Work this work in us. We don't want even this holding out this great opportunity. We don't want this to be because we saw it, recognized it, and through our own strength we seized it. We want it to be because your Spirit charged in our heart the desire to stand up, to follow the call in the power of the Holy Spirit. So again today, as always, we ask that your Spirit would transform and do this work in our hearts. In Jesus' name and for his glory, amen.